Morning.
Good morning.
And what a beautiful day it is. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Little cooler temperatures out there, but some sunshine today, so enjoy that while it lasts. It is good to be here on sacred and holy ground to worship God, because that's why we were created, to have fellowship with and worship the Lord God Almighty. And so we pray that what we do here today is pleasing to Him. Start thinking about it now, the Spud Bar, when you leave here, right out in the narthex. There'll be those fresh, hot, baked potatoes with all those different dressings that go on them. So start thinking about that now. Get your mouth watering. So let's leave all of our baggage behind us. Let's put our thoughts, our hearts, our minds upon the Lord our God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we give you thanks. For indeed we are a blessed people. And God, we gather together here to give you the best that we can of our worship and praise today. And so, Lord, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit and anoint us, bless this service, so that not only would it be pleasing to you, but that it would change our lives. For here, Lord, we gather in this place to be your friend, not a friend of the world, but to be your friend, to put you first. So come, Holy Spirit, bless us with a heart of flesh and open us up to receive the word that you have for us today. And fill us with love for one another, and especially with love for you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. And the peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Please pass that peace to your neighbor.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. As you make your way back to your seats, I want to offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially any visitors. Do we have any visitors? If so, and you would like information about our church, please see one of the ushers, or if you would rather on your own accord, there is information hanging from the shepherd's crook outside the double doors in our narthex. I would ask that you sign the registration form in the red folder in your pew, pass it to others, and then bring it back to the center aisle. If you have any prayer requests this morning, there are 3x5 index cards in those red folders. Complete those cards and then put them in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and the ushers will bring them forward to the pastor. Our memory verse for May is indicated. It's listed at the top of the bulletin in the center. Recite with me. And we will do that twice through. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We have many announcements this morning. I will highlight a few. As the pastor indicated, I'm also putting that little thought in your head. Today is the Spud Bar. Please support our outreach for the baked potatoes with all of the fixins. We have two announcements this morning by Dawn and Diane Runster. I would ask Dawn to come up now, and Diane will give you an announcement as Dawn walks up.
We have a new sheet on the top of the clipboard this week. I'm going to need some able-bodied help to decorate for Pentecost on June 1st. Right now it's scheduled for 6:30 in the evening, but if you can help in the morning or afternoon, you could put your name down and put that. I mean, time is flexible. We're also going to need help with the coffee hour on Graduate Sunday, and I believe we need help this month, Penny. Do we need coffee hour help? Okay. And so there's two places to sign for to help with coffee hour and Graduate Sunday, which is June 4th. And also we need someone to purchase and package the gifts for the graduates. Reminding any of you who have graduates from either high school or college or graduate degrees to let the office know so that we can honor them on June 4th. The second sheet, we still need some people to help for the church picnic in August. Ethel Rosenberg has asked me to announce from the NOW committee that there will be, we're planning summer Sunday school 3 Sundays during the summer. It'll be the third Sunday of June, July, and August. It's going to be different than regular Sunday school. The pastor's going to be teaching it, and we're going to need some help with someone maybe for some crafts and or refreshment for those days. So there'll be more information in your bulletin next week, but I'd like you to start thinking about continuing Sunday school at least on a partial basis through the summer months so that we don't lose any of the kids. Thank you. Oh, one other one. My husband Fritz is going to need 2 or 3 able-bodied men to help move that big rock downstairs. So if you want to be like Hercules and help with the rock, that would be great after the service today. Thanks.
Food, fellowship, and prizes, oh my. Good morning. It's your last chance to get tickets for the mother-daughter banquet. Really a banquet celebrating women. Every woman here is a daughter. You don't have to be a mom, just a woman looking for fun and fellowship and entertainment. Mom was talking about the banquet, previous banquets and remembering from the past. Looking back, they started in, she believes, in 1978. She said in the past, some of the ladies would dress up like their table. Rumor has it, which it's not really a rumor, because the 50s and the 80s tables are following this old tradition and going all out. If you'd like to do so, please ask, and I'll let you know if you've already bought your tickets. I will tell you what table, what decade you're at. If not, we still have some tickets left. So far, we have 90 women coming next Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn and Diane. And just 2 quick reminders. The camp fundraiser hoagie sale, orders for the May sale will be taken today and next Sunday. There are order forms in the narthex. And just remember that that does support our youth for their camp fundraiser hoagie sale. And also the United Methodist Men will be having their work meeting this Tuesday, May 9th at 9 a.m., and they do meet once a month to do repairs, and we're extremely grateful to the work that the men of our church continue to provide for our church. And just a final reminder, please check your bulletin for the many other announcements. There are a lot of detailed information with things that have already been announced this morning. And I would now ask that you turn your hearts and minds to our worship this morning.
Thank you.
please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, number 754, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures.
Leads me beside still waters, restores my life.
Leads me in right paths for the sake of the Lord's name.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil.
For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live.
Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, number 174 in your red hymnal.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. All right. Pew. Pew. Oh, hit my ring. Pew. Pew. There we go. All right. Who loves us? Jesus. Who wants us to obey him? Jesus does, yeah. Jesus gave us commands to live by, and Jesus wants us to obey him every day, all the time. I'm telling you what, come on with me. Let's take a walk. Okay, I want you to walk the same way I do, okay? Guys doing that? Take a step, bow your head. Take a step, bow. Okay. Got that? Come on down here. Come on down here. Wait, walk like I am. You've got to turn around. I'm walking backwards. Okay, come on down. Keep coming down. Give Penny a high five. Okay, let's go back up front. Grab a hymnal. Okay, open the hymnal up anywhere. Okay. Close the hymnal up. All right, very good. Now close it back up. Put it back where you got it from. Okay, line up here. Okay, spread out. Spread out. I want you to turn in a circle three times. Turn around three times. Okay, bark like a dog. Yeah, we'll get it to pound after you. Yes, right. Now, meow like a cat. Okay, and snort like an elephant. Okay. All right. Come on up here. Now, let me ask you. That was just silly stuff. Why did you do what I told you?
Because you told us to do that.
Because I told you to do that. Because I'm the pastor. And you did what I told you. Now, when your mom and dad tell you to do something, do you do it?
Yes.
Yep. How about when your teacher tells you to do something, do you do it?
Yes.
Yep. There are people in our lives that we obey them. We do what they tell us to do. There is somebody far more important than me, far more important than your teacher, even far more important than your parents, who wants us to obey him, and that's Jesus. Yeah, because Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, through him, everything that was made. Without him, none of this would exist. Jesus, God Almighty, wants us to obey him and do what he told us to do. And where do we find out what Jesus wants us to do? Where do you think we can find that? How do we know what Jesus wants us to do?
We find it in the Bible.
Yes, in the Bible. We look in the Bible, we read the Bible, we study the Bible every day. And then we live according to the what Jesus told us to do, according to the Word of God. That's how we live our lives. Okay, let's pray. Let's huddle up. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we pray, God, that you would grant us understanding and application of your Bible, of your holy word, and help us to share that Bible with our friends. We ask all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, choir. Our word of God today is from the book of Acts, the New Testament. These are the Acts of the Apostles. In chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, the Revised Standard Version in your pew Bible. Hear these words. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. And here ends our reading from the Acts. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give back to you just a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless and multiply it, use it as you see fit through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the Word of God to a hurting and confused world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, and please be seated. Joys and concerns. What joys do we have? What do we want to thank God for? Everything. For the weather.
Family and friends.
What else are we thankful for? Cars. Health and happiness. Jobs. Okay, a little boy who couldn't speak is now at the head of his kindergarten class. All right. Other joys. Anybody else have a joy? All the men and women who gave their lives so that we could have freedom in this country. For those sacrifices, absolutely.
My 40th anniversary.
Your 40th anniversary. And that segues right into concerns. I'm sure Barb would want us to put that down. She's a lucky girl. Okay. Yeah. So for all of our joys, we like to say, praise the Lord. Now, pens and pencils, write this down on your bulletin, tablet, or up here, make a mental note. And if something speaks to you, please pray about that until God releases you from that. We want to remember the Morrell family. We've been praying for Jesse Nicole Morrell, but she passed away this week. We also want to pray for our country and our country's leaders. We want to pray for our church, that we would be all that God wants us to be here. We want to pray for addicts and family and friends. We need to come against this epidemic of addiction. In Jesus' name. And it's not just drugs. People are addicted to a lot of things, but we need to come against addiction in the name of Jesus. We want to pray for our first responders, for the Park family. We want to pray for our men and women and their families in the military. And a special request was made today for us to pray for the McKeesport United Methodist Churches. Six churches that are trying something new. They're coming under the leadership of Reverend William Meekins, and they're going to operate as one. So they need our prayers, McKeesport United Methodist Churches. Other concerns? Name of somebody or something going on that we can pray about. Okay, we want to pray for cancer, victims, and patients. Cheryl. Okay, pray for Dean. Pray for the Spud Bar. Pray for our mission team. Let's pray for our youth and Pastor Stephen. No aches, no pains, no outstanding bills, cars running fine, nothing wrong with the house. Your relationship with your neighbors and coworkers and family are just fine. All that, yes. Let's pray for marriages and families. If you have an unspoken request for God, just raise your hand. God sees that hand and knows what the details are. And for all these concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we do give you thanks for all of our blessings. Thank you, God, that we have options. That when we look in the cupboard, we have to figure out what food do we want to eat today. We look in our closets, we want to figure out what do we want to wear today? Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that when we turn the handle on the tap, that water comes out. For the warmth in our homes, for the vehicles that we drive, for friends and family and neighbors and coworkers, for our health such that it is, for entertainment, for a government that keeps us safe. Thank you for all these things, God. And we pray that we don't take them for granted, but God, we ask for your help to share our blessings with others so that they too will come to know the love of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for our concerns today, we lift them up into the light and love of your presence. And we believe, God, that you are greater than any problem that we have. We believe, God, that if you be for us, who can be against us? We believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that we have favor with God and man, that you, my God, will supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. It is written, so we believe it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we lift up into the light and love of your presence the Morrell family, people who have cancer, families of those who have died from it, Cheryl and Dean, the Spud Bar, the mission team, our youth group and Pastor Stephen, the Park family, that new alignment of McKeesport United Methodist Churches, the men and women and their families in the military. We pray, Lord, for those who are suffering from addictions. We pray for our church, our country, and our country's leaders. We pray, Lord, for that you would bless our marriages, our homes, our families. This and so many more things, Lord. We lift up to you also the unspoken request. We believe, God, help our unbelief. And we ask all these things, giving you all the honor and the glory and the praise, in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our sermon scripture is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. It was the custom in Jesus' day, particularly, that a village, they had all these different shepherds and all these different flocks of sheep, so they would keep them overnight in a large pen, a huge large pen, surrounded by a wall or a fence, and somebody would be in charge of the gate. And so all the different flocks were put into there. And when the shepherd came to take his sheep out, to take them out to feed them, he would come in and he'd call his sheep. And they would know his name, his voice, and they would come out and they would follow him. And he would go out through the gate, his own sheep would follow him, and he would take them out to pasture. Now, anybody who didn't enter by the gate, of course, was up to no good. They were only there to steal, kill, and destroy. This sermon today is about what I believe to be the most important battle that we are fighting in our world today. It is about the authority of God's Word. The Bible says it. Jesus died for it. That settles it. But it's just not that simple. You see, to put it another way, did God really say? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Satan, being more crafty than any other animal, the serpent, came to Adam and Eve and said about that tree in the middle of the garden, the one with the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, the one that God said you're not supposed to eat. Did God really say, it's the first thing he says to Eve, did God really say? See, because if I can just put a seed of doubt in your mind. Of course, I think that's a tactic in court, you know, to plant a little seed of doubt in the jury's mind. Well, that's what the devil did. And I'll tell you what, it started something that has not changed to this very day. I believe that that is the single most divisive question in the whole world. And that people, whether they're religious or not, are still dealing with it. It has resulted in so much chaos in our lives. Did God really say? If I can get you to doubt what God said, I can get you to believe anything I want you to believe. I can sell you oceanfront property in Oklahoma. Did God really say that I shouldn't gossip? That I shouldn't lie? That I shouldn't steal? That I shouldn't kill? That I shouldn't covet? That I shouldn't be prideful? That I shouldn't love money? That I shouldn't be vain? Did God really say those things? Did God really say that people of the same sex shouldn't have sexual relationships with each other? That marriage is between a man and a woman? That we shouldn't murder? That we shouldn't be gluttonous? That we shouldn't be lazy or slothful? Did God really say that? Did God really say that we should love one another, put others first ahead of our own agendas? Did God really say that we should feed the hungry, give clothes to those who need it, visit the sick and those in prison? Did God really say that we should gather together and worship him, that we should forsake not the gathering together, that we are to love him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, more than we love family or even our own lives? Did God really say that? The Holy Spirit, God, directed people to record these events in these words. And then God directed other people to gather together these specific writings and to canonize them. And the Bible has become a reed or a measure by which everything else is judged. The Bible is the standard for our morality in our society. All over the world. Did God really say? See, if I can get you to doubt what God said, I can chip away at all that morality, justice. You know, our own country is based on what God said. And yet we hear it all the time. But did God really say, did the forefathers really mean doubt? If I can get you to question it. James chapter 1, verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed about by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded, unstable in all that they do. John 20, verse 31. But these words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. There's no other way to salvation. Only through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible makes that clear over and over and over again. But did God really say? I mean, come on now. If you're a really good person, you should go to heaven. God wouldn't condemn you to hell if you're nice. Did God really say that Jesus is the only way? Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. Or John 3:16. But yeah, I know. But did God really say? I mean, Jesus died for everybody. So whether you believe in him or not, everybody's going to be saved. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. Did God really say that we're to love one another, including the people that we can't stand, that they're so different from us? Did God really say that we're to forgive? That person hurt me. There's no way I'm going to forgive. Did God really say that I'm to love him more than I'm to love my own life? That I'm to give up my agenda at home to come and do things and get involved in ministry? To make sacrifices for Jesus? I'll pick and choose what I want to do. I'll pick and choose what I want to believe. Did God really say? Did God really say that's not how it works? Yeah, science, medicine, and inventions have changed society. Those things weren't around when the word was written. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no shadow of turning with God. Always the same. And even though things are different today than they were back then, even though we know more today than we did back then, the Bible is not about inventions. It's not about discoveries. And the Bible is about the nature of human beings. And the nature of man has not changed from that day to this day, which amazes me. You would think we would learn by our mistakes, and yet we don't. We still struggle with the very same sins, the very same lust, the very same stupidity that we struggled with back then. Except today we're surrounded with microwave ovens, cell phones, and smartwatches. They didn't have them then. Today we offer up all kinds of excuses and reasons why people are the way they are, and yet they were that way back then too. Did God really say? You bet he did. You bet he did. And I'm going to tell you that if you stand on the word of God, there's going to be people who are going to give you a hard time and persecute you because of it. You're going to feel the heat. But you stand on the word of God. Because if you don't, and you won't stand for anything. You'll be unstable in all that you do. Stand on the word of God, whether it's popular or not. Stand on the word of God. Oh, I know. But we interpret things differently. You know, we don't see eye to eye on what the Bible says. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, he said, think and let think on things that don't pertain to salvation. So Brian and I, we disagree on baptism. Brian thinks you need to be dunked, submerged, in order to be baptized. And I think that any amount of water will do. I can pour it on there, I can sprinkle it on there, or I'll dunk you. I don't think it matters. I think it's a matter of the heart. And John Wesley says, well, that doesn't have to do with salvation. So think and let think. You guys want to disagree? It's okay. Still love one another. But John Wesley said, but the things that have to do with salvation, you all have to agree on. That you don't back up for. And salvation is found in none other than Jesus. Only through faith in Christ are we saved. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands, like we told the kids. Did God really say? You bet he did. You bet he did. And it says in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 to 19, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and the holy city, which are described in this scroll. Did God really say? Yes, he did. But always remember this. That doesn't give me the right to take the Bible and beat you over the head with it and say, God said this. I'm supposed to love everybody, whether I agree with them or not. Hate the sin and love the sinner. And if you don't see eye to eye with me and you think I'm a sinner because of the way I'm believing, well, then you hate my sin, but you love me. I hate your sin, but I love you. And I'm telling you, it'll all come out in the wash because God is love. But we live our lives according to the word of God, because did God say? Yes, he did. Too many people want to water the word down, too much New Age thinking. Too many thieves are breaking in on us, and motivational speakers and people selling blessings. And it's just so much garbage out there, twisting the word of God. And just like that devil in the Garden of Eden, people were saying to us, did God really say? I want you to think about this. This is pretty nice. This ought to make you feel good. We can do it this way. I mean, after all, did God really say? Yes, God did. God loves you, and so do I. Feel please turn in your hymnals to page 15. Service of Word and Table 3. The communion table in the United Methodist Church is open to anybody who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the living Son of the living God, and that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was dead, raised from the dead, and you've asked him into your life as your Lord and Savior. You are more than welcome to come to this table. Please follow along. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise to you, Lord God Almighty, for all that you have done for us, for saving us. And while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to die for us. We didn't deserve it, but you did it anyways. And so we thank you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for our salvation. Blessed be your holy name. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy.
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And on that night that Jesus would be betrayed, Jesus gathered his disciples together to celebrate the Passover meal and to institute a new ceremony. During that supper, he took the bread, and after he had blessed it, he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And after he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and drink all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord, we lift up this bread and this juice unto you, and we pray that you would bless them, Lord, that they would be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Bless us now, Lord, and open up our hearts to receive that which you have for us. Forgive us, Lord, of any anger, any animosity, any desires for revenge that we may have within us. Fill us with forgiveness for those who have hurt us. Fill us all with love for one another as we come to this table which represents love and forgiveness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're using intention today. Let me uncover this here on the altar. Intinction is not always comfortable for everybody. So we have here on the altar rail, we have the bread and the little cups that have been blessed along with the elements here. And if you would prefer, when you come up in line, you can just step over here and take a piece of bread and a cup if intinction is not comfortable for you. Now let's make them wait. With the ushers, please.
The body of Christ broken for you.
His blood shed for you. His blood shed for you. His blood shed for you.
The body of Christ broken for you.
His blood shed for you. His blood shed for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that there is one loaf and we who are many are one in the body of Christ. Thank you for this act of love in which we just participated. Help us to love one another and others the same way that you have loved us. And most of all, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us and give us the boldness to stand firmly upon your word. In all things, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of parting is number 140, standing as we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
mother-daughter tickets. You can get those right out here in the Norfolk on your way out. And the Spud Bar. So even if you're going out to eat, take a Spud home with you and have it later on today. Standing on the Word of God. I mean, really standing on the Word of God. Whether people like it or not, is not popular. Tickling people's ears, telling them what they like to hear, making things easy for them, is very popular. But it's not right. Stand on the Word of God. Debate it, talk about it all you want, but stand on the Word of God. It is the way that leads to salvation. It is the words of life. It is Jesus. Jesus, the Word made flesh, who came and dwelt among us, the Good Shepherd. And you'll know, because you know His voice. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You would pour out Your Spirit upon us and fill us with holy boldness. Fill us also with the peace that passes all understanding. Fill us with the courage to stand on Your Word. And when people say to us, did God really say, we can look them in the eye with love in our heart and say, you bet He did. You bet He did. We ask all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen.